Good morning. I brought with me a little something to persuade some of you this morning that are sitting on the back rows, because we've still got these seats up here. Just kidding. I'm glad to see you this morning. Many of you probably don't know this about me, but I love baseball, specifically baseball history, just to kind of be a little more even down to the point. I don't spend a lot of time watching baseball games. I do love to go to them. But baseball is just one of those things that's kind of in my blood. And when I was a kid, for this whole span of this period of my life was consumed with baseball, collecting baseball cards and memorabilia and playing baseball and practicing baseball. And my favorite baseball player of all time, this is probably going to sound weird because he wasn't playing even when I was alive, is Willie Mays. And it just kind of, you know, studying the history of this guy and the things that he did in this sport and the records that he holds. And he's, you know, he's not just like good at one thing. He was like good at everything. I mean, he just dominated. And I hear people, even got on YouTube last night, was watching, you know, people talk about, you know, watching baseball back in the 50s and the 60s and claiming that they had never seen anyone play the game like Willie Mays had. And so I love all that stuff. I love the golden era of baseball, which is that time period and even a little bit before. And one of the things that I collected over time were some bats, and I've got one of those with me today, obviously. So, and this is actually a Mickey Mantle style bat, and it's not signed by Mickey Mantle. He's probably never even seen one of these things, but it's from the 60s, and it's one of those things probably given out at a baseball stadium, probably on Bat Day or something. Who knows? Probably given out by the Nashville Sounds, to all I know. But anyway, it's a Mantle style bat, and it has Coca-Cola on it, and that makes it worth something because it's got those two things, especially. But you know, Mickey Mantle was one of those people in baseball that, if you go back and you look and you read about Mickey Mantle and some of the feats and things that, you know, had happened with Mickey Mantle back in 1953 on April the 17th at Clark Stadium in Washington, Mickey Mantle hit a home run. And you're saying, Chris, that's really specific. And I'm just telling you, it is specific because it should be specific because it's history. And this is an important part of history, and you'll be tested on it later. Mickey Mantle hit a home run. And it went over the left field wall. Now, when I mean over, I mean like over, not just the wall really, but also the stands and the stadium. It went out of the stadium. And it was said at that time that he had hit this home run 565 feet. That he's the only person that as long as that stadium was standing, he's the only person that ever hit a ball out of the stadium over the left field. And it was one of those things, it was like, you know, this huge deal, and so, like, you know, tons of people idolized Mickey Mantle for his home run hitting ability. Truth be known, they figured out later it was probably more like 510 feet, but still it was a huge feat, and he's the only person to ever had hit a home run over that specific area of that stadium ever. And so, you know, I think about baseball, and when I think about baseball, I think about all kinds of things. I think about my childhood, and I think about Field of Dreams, and I think about, you know, whatever, you know. Shoeless Joe Jackson, almost didn't wear shoes today, but I decided you wouldn't like that. And so, you know, when I think about baseball, I think of it in its pure form. And I think about all of that stuff and all those things that as a kid, how I dreamed and how I believed that I would be a baseball player one day. I wore the number 24 for Willie Mays. You know, I played center field because that was Willie Mays' position, and I liked the idea of, you know, having the most territory out on the field, you know, and I was fast and I could catch, and I would practice catching like Willie Mays over my back and all these things. And so when I think about baseball, I think about something that's pure. But truth be known, There have been some things happening over history. I want to give you a little history lesson this morning. First guy I want to talk about, there are other people before these guys that I'm about to talk about that set this record. And just so you know, Major League Baseball has been around since 1876. And specifically, some people don't consider it until 1901 because it didn't change the actual name until 1901 to Major League Baseball. It was something else before that. But back before then, there were people that set home run records. But I want to talk about some notable people that you've heard of before that set some home run records. So the first one I want to talk about is Babe Ruth. We've got Babe Ruth, and Babe Ruth actually set the home run record way back in the 20s and 30s, and he actually beat his own record a couple of times. In fact, just to get real specific with you here, Babe Ruth set, the first time he set the home run record was in 1920, and he set it with 1919. He set it with 29 home runs when he was still playing with the Red Sox. With 29 home runs, he was the all-time home run king for a season. That's not career, it's season, okay? We're going by seasons right now. And so Babe Ruth hit 29 home runs this season, set the record. Well, like the very next year, 1920, he went from hitting 29 home runs that season to hitting 54. And he broke his own record and set a new record of 54. And then several years later, 6 years later, in 1927, Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs in a season, setting a record that would not be broken for 34 years. 34 years, Babe Ruth had the all-time home run record for one season. 34 years later comes along a guy by the name of Roger Maris. Roger Maris comes along, and this guy right here, I love that card, that's a great card by the way. Roger Maris comes along in 1961, and he hits 61 home runs to set the record for the most home runs in a season. Now, Roger Maris's deal here would not be broken for 37 years. 37 years, Roger Maris would hold the record. We're going to keep that up for just a second. Roger Maris played for the Yankees at this time. He held this record for 37 years. And somebody else that I want to talk about for just a second, just to kind of even kind of go out of the per season thing, because you can't talk about home runs without talking about this guy. And this guy is not, he didn't hold the record for the most home runs in a season, which says something about consistency with this guy. But he held the all-time home run record of the number of home runs hit, and that's Hank Aaron. And Hank Aaron's up there with 755 home runs for his career. Now, the reason I'm sharing all this with you, the reason I'm kind of setting this up is because over the last several years, something's happened. And we're going to keep Hank up there. Let's keep him around. We like him. That's a 1954 Topps card, if you care. Hank Aaron, that's an awesome card. I wish I had it. Hank Aaron held the record for the most home runs, again, for, it seemed like forever. And in here, several years ago, something happened. And we had, many of you saw this in the news, you saw it in the press. We had this home run race going on. And we had these new guys that were like bigger than life, literally. And they're, you know, crunching balls out of the park just left and right. And all of a sudden, they're chasing after seasonal records. And we see in 1998, Mark McGwire crushed the seasonal record and way went over the 61 mark. And, you know, then not too long after that, Barry Bonds did the same thing, and now he holds the seasonal record for 70 home runs within a season. But something happened with all this stuff. It just was a little bit fishy that these guys just like walked in the deal, and all of a sudden, like 37 years later, there's like multiple guys in the running for like having the most home runs. Multiple guys are after this, after these records and after the seasonal records, and they're after the career record, and all of a sudden, I mean, they're catching up fast. And we're going, man, they must just really know how to play baseball. But there was something else involved, and it was steroids. And it took something as pure as all American baseball that we've known for a long time, and that, you know, some of us, if you're like me as a kid, you just believed in this and you wanted to do this. And it took this pure thing and it tainted it. And so people over the last several years, when you talk about baseball, they don't, of course, most people aren't thinking about Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Mickey Mantle and these guys. They're thinking about what's happened to the sport, where people have used drugs to enhance themselves, to be able to do things and set new records set by people long ago that just did it the good old-fashioned way. And what's happened is that sport has lost believers. It's lost believers because of all that. You know, and I see that, and I personally feel that way toward that sport at this point in time because of some of those things. And you can't help but ask questions about guys that have not been named yet, and you've got this thing called the Mitchell Report where it's come out and all these names of guys have been released. These guys have used anabolic steroids and all this stuff. You know, and you can't help but even question the other guys, maybe some of the guys that didn't, but maybe they're really good ball players. For some of us here today, we've lost our belief in God. And, you know, for all different kinds of reasons, maybe this has happened. Maybe something tragic has happened in your life, and you're asking this question, why? Or maybe you went to this church and these people treated you like junk, and you're like, I didn't think you were supposed to get treated about like junk by people that say they love Jesus. And somewhere along the way, many of us have ceased to believe. And I just got to tell you, as the pastor of our church, I really have prayed hard about, you know, what it is that God wants us to do going into this year. How are we supposed to start out this year? How are we supposed to start out? And I really feel like this is almost like a new chapter in the life of our church. I feel that, and I've talked to so many other people that are feeling that right now too. And in the midst of that, I feel like God is just saying, you just need to just come back to the very basic thing of just believing in me for starters. Because you've got no faith if you've got no belief. And this is the question, and it sounds so elementary this morning that many of you are going to sit there and go, well, duh, Chris, of course I believe. I'm here this morning, aren't I? But I'm afraid that a lot of us don't. I'm afraid that a lot of us wear these hats and t-shirts or whatever that say, I love Jesus or whatever, but when it comes down to it, we're not really believing in God. We're not really following after Him like we believe Him. To have faith, we have to believe. Everything else is just going through the motions. And so the question I'm asking you, which is that very elementary question this morning, is do you really believe? I didn't ask, do you go to church? I didn't ask, are you a part of a home team? I didn't ask, are you serving? I just simply ask, do you believe? I am so afraid that the Church of America is full of people that do not really believe in God. This has become a place that we go to, and we go to because maybe we've got friends, or it's good for business for us to be a part of church or whatever it is. But our belief in God is not trailing with us in the decisions that we're making in everyday life. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you this morning. And it's out of the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, we see a guy by the name of Abraham and his one and only son. You got to know something about Abraham and his son Isaac, and that's that Abraham and his wife, excuse me, Abraham and his wife could not have children. And God said, Abraham, you are going to have a child, and he like gets to be a gajillion years old. You wouldn't believe how old he gets. I'm not even going to get into it. But he gets old, and they have this child that God promised them, and his name is Isaac, his one and only son. And in chapter 22 of Genesis, we see God ask Abraham to do something. And again, I want you just to kind of think about this for a minute. This is a very extreme thing that God is doing here. But as you're asking yourself this morning the question, do I believe in God? to go along with that question is, if you do believe in God, then you would do what God asks you to do, correct? I mean, you wouldn't want to. I mean, if you believe in God, you're not going to not do what God wants you to do, right? I mean, we wouldn't do that. Here we've got Abraham, chapter 22, verse 1, it says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son," talking about Isaac, "your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, Father Abraham, Father," sorry, "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now right here we've got some, super, super faithfulness in God going on. God has asked Abraham, "Abraham, I want you to take your one son, and I want you to take him up there, and I want you to sacrifice him." Without even any real reason. And Abraham follows this. And Abraham says, "You know what, okay, God, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do." I'm sure there was a lot of mourning and weeping and crying. But Abraham gets Isaac up there, and he gets ready to sacrifice Isaac. And this is what happens. Verse 11, it says, "But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up there in a thicket. He saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as the burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called this place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.'" Do you believe? I mean, it's just a simple question. And let's face it, I mean, it is the basis. It is the basic thing of our faith. If we don't believe, then you can't possibly have faith in God. You can't have faith in something you don't believe in. For us to believe, for us to say that we really believe, means that we would do anything that God would ask us to do. And that's easier said than done, right? To sacrifice your own child. I only have one child. I can't imagine doing anything to her. In fact, I would do anything for her. But to imagine giving her up because God's asked me to was a huge thing. But there's something important for us to understand this morning about this passage of Scripture. And that's that God had no intention in killing Isaac. Now, God had all right. I mean, he has right over life and death. He had all right to do so if he wanted to. But that was not his intention at all. His intention was to see if Abraham himself in his heart was willing to sacrifice his one and only son. He wanted to see if Abraham in his heart would give up Isaac. And Abraham did. And in doing so, we see the ultimate, ultimate act of obedience. But obedience only follows true faith, which follows true belief. I think for a lot of us, we have a lot of trouble. We have a lot of trouble believing sometimes, even though we say we believe and we go to church and we do all these things and we're worshiping God and we have tingly feelings and all this stuff. But, you know, bottom line here is that so many of us get caught up in stuff that we miss our very core, our belief in the Lord, and in just the little things in life that freak us out. I mean, we just go ballistic. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I'm throwing myself out here on this. You know, we lose it. And we forget that we're not in charge. We forget that God wants to rule over us. And he wants us to put him in that first place position and let him be the one calling the shots for us. And again, so easy to say, so hard to do. But if we believe in God, then we do that. You see, Abraham had figured something out. Abraham had figured out that in times in life when you even begin to question, you know, is God real? Do I believe? What's going on? Abraham was able to remember back to the things that God had already done in his life. Let me ask you a question. What's God done in your life? And you may just be sitting here this morning, you may be going, Chris, I don't know. I don't have a lot. I feel like my life has just been kind of junky up until this point, and I'm kind of trying to find something new, and that's great. I want to give testimony this morning to how God has worked in my life and in the life of our church. And I want you to check this video out.